Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and welcome to this week's HopeCast. My friend Jen Houston will join us again next week. Today, I want to talk to you about lies that I hear about and see in our culture regarding dating, relationships, and marriage. Without further ado, let me jump in and give you what I see as five distinct lies that are in our culture regarding dating, relationships, and marriage. Here's the first one. I must be in a relationship. Singles say this, feel this all the time. I must be in a relationship. On social media, it says in your social media account to check one or the other, single or in a relationship. So many people want to put in a relationship just because that makes you feel like you're more acceptable in our culture. May I address that lie from a biblical and faith and values perspective? First of all, Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians 7, there is great value in being single. Being single is not your identity. Your identity is in Jesus. And if you're single at this moment, you're single because Jesus wants you to be single at this moment. If you were to be married, you would be married at this moment. So in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul makes it very clear that there's great value in being single, not the least of which is that you have more time to serve the Lord and advance the kingdom of God. Those of us who are married and have children know the enormous responsibility we feel toward caring for another person, and especially those children whom God may give us in our marriage. They take absolute priority for us, and they demand a great deal of time. If you don't have that responsibility in your life, you have more time that you can give to the Lord, serve the poor, share your faith, advance the kingdom of God. That is just a reality that is before us. Moreover, let me remind you that Paul himself was single, and he wrote those words from his own perspective, knowing that he had more time to advance the gospel, to spread the love of Jesus throughout the world. And let me remind all of us that we would not have our Christian faith as we have it in the Western world unless Paul was single, unless he had had the time to plant churches all over the Roman Empire and indeed write all of those Pauline letters that we have in the New Testament that we go to time and time again to understand right Christian orthodoxy and right Christian orthopraxy, how to live out our faith. But here's something else to consider. Jesus was single. Jesus was a virgin. Jesus was not in an intimate relationship with a woman. He died single. He died a virgin. And today, folks, Jesus in eternity as the ruler of all of the universe is still a virgin, and he's still single, and he's doing just fine. You can do just fine by not being in a relationship. Let me give you this life tip that I know is true. After 40 plus years in pastoral ministry, dealing with people who want to be in a relationship, have gotten into a relationship, and that relationship has ended poorly and even painfully, here is my life tip. It's better to be alone than to be with a loser. May I say that again? It's better to be alone than to be with a loser. That's the first lie of our culture you need to address as a follower of Jesus. I must be in a relationship. You don't. If you're not, God can still use you mightily for His glory and His kingdom's advancement. Here's the second one. I need to marry my soulmate. Are you aware where the whole idea of soulmate came from? It's from Greek mythology. There evidently were two people who were joined together at their rear ends, and they had an androgynous part of their genitalia, which caused them to be together. The gods were threatened by their power, so they were separated, and they kept trying to come back together to have their power, and Zeus, the one who caused the separation to occur, would never allow that to happen. So the whole idea of finding my soulmate is not Christian. It's not biblical. It's from Greek mythology. Now, here's what I would say to you who are Christ followers. You need to develop a relationship with someone who becomes your best friend. One of the ways of saying I love you in the Greek language is the word phileia. It comes from the Greek word which means best friend affection. The city, Philadelphia, comes from the two Greek words phileia, which means brotherly, and then Adelphos, love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Adelphos means brother, phileia means best friend kind of love. So when you fall in love with someone, make that person your best friend. Eve came from Adam's side. The rest of their lives, they were to come back together in marriage as one flesh. And the beauty of that one flesh relationship is often found in being each other's best friends. And I've said this repeatedly as well. You can leave your spouse. You can't leave your best friend. The whole idea of a soulmate, though, is Greek mythology. The idea of becoming each other's best friend in a oneness relationship that God intended in marriage is very, very biblical. Here is a third lie of our culture. Attending church doesn't make my marriage better. Nothing could be farther from the truth. What's happening today is couples want a destination wedding and then nothing to do with the church. I think you need to do a wedding in the church surrounded by godly people from the church who will help make your marriage better in the years to come. You should have marriage mentors, older people who've made marriage work in your church experience who help model for you and teach to you what it takes to have a godly, good marriage where divorce is seldom and rare. And what's interesting is Brad Wilcox, who is a professor at the University of Virginia, and he's the one who came up with what's called the success sequence. He's the one who taught that if a man will just graduate from high school, then get a job, then get married, then have children, in that sequence, the children of that family relationship have a 90%+ chance of escaping poverty and having upward mobility. It's just a truth. One of the crises in our culture is not the patriarchy, as those in the woke culture say. One of the crises in our culture is, yes, the patriarchy where there aren't fathers in homes loving their wives and raising children for the glory of God. And Brad Wilcox, who is the one who teaches the success sequence, which basically is a model of Genesis 1 and 2, where God created Adam and Eve, gave them a place where to live, the garden of Eden, gave them work to do, then they married, then they had sex, then they had children. That was God's original design in Genesis 1 and 2. That's exactly what Wilcox has discovered with the success sequence. But he goes on to say that couples that are deeply involved in a church, in a body of Christ, there is, first of all, a 30 to 50% chance of a less likely divorce occurring in their lives. There's also greater satisfaction, there's greater trust, and we know that that's the case because of the evidence that Brad Wilcox has brought to us. So, when you are in a church environment and you are seeing other marriages work, and then those marriages are giving you hints on how to make your marriage better, you can expect greater satisfaction in your marriage and a longer-term marriage, which leads to the fourth lie of our culture. Christians have the same divorce rate as other secularists in our culture. Folks, that is from Satan, who is the father of lies. It's just not true. Here's what Wilcox and others have discovered, and some of these institutions that have done this study are some of the most liberal and woke places you can possibly imagine. But where couples pray together, worship together, serve together, and develop a spiritual life together, they have not only the greatest of all satisfactions in marriage, but the divorce rate is one out of over 1,000. Now, I think what that says is exactly what the Bible says, that where two become one, Jesus said, what God has joined together, no person can ever separate. When a couple is enjoined spiritually in their souls, in the deepest part of who they are, when there is that spiritual enjoining of their lives together, there's no flesh and blood person who can ever tear apart what God has joined together. Here's the truth from this lie. The highest divorce rate in the world is among people who are married to someone from a different faith perspective. That's what Paul meant in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, do not be unequally yoked. That is primarily talking about marriage. Now, it has business implications. For example, you should probably not enter into business enterprises with people who don't share your love for Jesus and your Judeo-Christian principles. You'll be pulling against one another. But the whole idea of being equally yoked implies two oxen walking in the same direction, lockstep with one another. It doesn't work if one oxen wants to go to the left and the other oxen wants to go to the right. You need to be equally yoked in marriage. So the highest marriage satisfaction is found between people who have the same religious conviction. Again, the lowest satisfaction and also the highest abuse is among couples where one loves God and one doesn't love God, or they have two different religious perspectives. When both are practicing Christians, there's great success in marriage. Here's lie number five. It's better to marry later in life. Listen, folks, here's the truth. It's not how old you are that makes your marriage successful. It's how prepared you are for marriage that makes the difference. The average man is in his early 30s in American life when he marries. The average woman is in her late 20s when she marries. Personally, I think it's great when kids come out of college and they find their spouse and they get married and they begin their lives together. They have some time to develop their oneness of life, body, soul, and spirit, and then to begin to have children during those childbearing years when it's a bit easier to have them. Just remember, dear friends, one out of four couples have infertility problems in America. Some of that is associated by waiting so long to get married. Your fertility years allow those children to come, and believe me, from my wife and myself, those three that we have only made our lives richer. Now, here's a warning for all of you. The highest divorce rate in American life is among those who are living together. Those who move in with one another, unmarried, who sleep together, have that physical union together without the covenant commitment of stability that says, I'm with you forever, till death do us part. Today, more than 70% of all couples sleep together, cohabitate, live together before marriage. That's been going on since the 1980s as more and more of a norm in our culture. People say, well, I need to try it out. I need to make sure we're going to have a great sex life together. I need to make sure that we are compatible. Folks, marriage is not like test driving a car. That's not what you do. There are other ways to answer those questions that you are asking about compatibility with that person. And we'll talk about that as we end today's Hopecast. But here's the bottom line. Do it God's way. There is a firm foundation upon which God wants you to build your marriage, upon the rock. And when you build it upon Jesus himself, when the winds come, when the storms blow, and every marriage has them. My wife and I have been married for over 40 years. We could tell you of countless numbers of storms and winds that have blown and come upon our marriage, but our marriage still stands. Why? Because it's built upon the rock. There are blessings of obedience when you do things God's way. In Deuteronomy 28 and 29, God said to the Israelites, do it my way, and I will bless you. I'll bring in the crops during the harvest. There will not be infertility. Do it my way. But when they didn't do it God's way, God warned them, here will be the curses that come upon you. And if you know your biblical history, the Israelites chose to do it their way and disobeyed God's commands and ultimately ended up in captivity for 70 years as God prophesied. So here are some ideas that I would give you today to keep your marriage strong, to come against these lies in our culture. First of all, do intentional dating. Go out with people you enjoy going out with, sometimes in groups, perhaps just one-on-one. And when you're dating, make it an exclusive and overt and non-sexual relationship. Follow my dad's rules, if you will. He said that when dating, nothing below the neck, nothing lying down. That will pretty much ensure your relationship from going sexual. Say, I'm just going to date you for this season. I want to get to know you. Do so publicly. Nothing sexual. Marriage is not my desire right now. I just want to get to know you to find out if there is compatibility. You don't have to live together to find that out. Do premarital counseling. Get with somebody who can really help you know if you know one another well and if you are ready for marriage. Engagement. It's important where you look forward to that covenant moment when you make eternal commitments to the other person. Then have sex. And if you will do it in that order, it gives your marriage and your family the greatest possibility for the success sequence to occur. And finally, realize you're going to be in this marriage and there's going to be needed a lifelong work of repenting, loving, laughing, and forgiving. You're going to have redos over and over again. And folks, that's okay. There may be times you fail your partner. Repent, forgive, come back together, and move on. For marriage is a beautiful gift from God to us. But it will demand forgiving 70 times 7. Jesus said so. That does not mean that on the 491st time when your spouse hurts you, you get to sock back. No. 70 times 7, the numbers of perfection in the Bible, Jesus was saying over and over and over again, forgive as he has forgiven us. You can always have a redo. You can always try again. That's what Jesus has done with us. It is a beautiful gift from our Savior to us. And we're reminded in Ephesians 4:32 how Paul said, as you have been forgiven, now forgive one another. Get in touch with how much Jesus has forgiven you, has allowed you that do-over, that regrouping, that chance again to move forward. And as you do so with your spouse in marriage, you'll go 40, 50, 60, 70 years and live in a satisfied, beautiful, Christ-centered marriage that lives in God's truth and not the lies of our culture. I'm David Chadwick. Thank you for listening to this HopeCast. I look forward to talking with you all next week.